BI Vegas is the spot, Golden Circle Sports Bar. Lots of NFL to get into, some college football as well. More of the ridiculousness going on at Michigan. And so much more here on a Friday. Mateo is running the show down here. James back in the studio. Jeff Parles is with us as well. By the way, breaking news in. Fired Michigan coach Sherrone Moore, charged with stalking and home invasion. So those are the official charges. We will have strong opinions again today on what Michigan culture is, what that school is doing. More on Sherrone Moore. And unfortunately, we have to do it because I'm not a Michigan man. But I know what a decent standard looks like, some morals look like, and apparently most Michigan men are unwilling to say it. They're afraid. Jeff Parles is here. Coming up, we've got our Dollar Loan Center contest. That's our picks contest at 3:30. No one's won in weeks and weeks and weeks. One caller will get a chance to pick three games straight up, go 3-0, and you are the winner of the cash. That's coming up at 3:30. What's up, Jeff?
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Always love being down here at the Golden Circle.
Good football weekend on the way, too. The NFL week is freaking bonkers. It started out crazy last night. We'll get to that in 3 minutes. Looks pretty much official that Kenny Pickett's going to be out there instead of Geno Smith against the Eagles. Interesting storyline here. I'm not really into the whole tanking thing, but obviously the goal the rest of the way would be to not win any more games, but Pickett probably, well, he gives him a better chance than an injured Geno Smith right now, right?
It's not even close. it's not even remotely close at this point. I would venture to the point that I would not play Geno Smith again this year. I would just play Kenny Pickett the duration, and you need to see if he's worthy of being on this roster moving forward. As the backup to whoever the Raiders take at the top of this upcoming NFL draft. Assuming the Raiders do not win another game the rest of the way, they are going to pick number one, because the team that currently holds number one is a team they will lose to in 3 weeks. So, yeah, they are much better off with Pickett. And, you know, it's a little bit bizarre because under normal circumstance, this would be like, oh, the Eagles are going to run them out. The Eagles have been so bad since the first half in Dallas these last 2.5 weeks now. It really looks like it did 2 years ago when the whole thing collapsed on them down the stretch.
Do you think it was fair this week of an Eagles media member to ask Sirianni, was he considering a change at quarterback?
Was it fair? No. Was it surprising it was asked? No. But I mean, he has been that bad. Hurts has been that bad the last month plus. And even when they were, even when they've won games this year, they've won it except for early in the year, they're winning games because of their defense. I mean, even the 2 games before that, I mean, they beat the Packers 10-7 with one touchdown in the game. They beat the Lions 16-9 before this 3-game losing streak. Other than that first half against Dallas, their offense has been awful the last 5 weeks. But you know, I was batting this around. I was batting this around earlier this week. Let's say Philadelphia just wins the NFC East because Dallas is just not good enough and can't take advantage. Let's say Philly goes 10-7. They win the NFC East just because someone has to, and then they get blasted by the Niners or the Seahawks or the Rams in round one, and Hurts doesn't get out of this funk. Do you entertain with so many quarterback needy teams and not many quarterbacks in this upcoming draft? Do you entertain the possibility of trading Jalen Hurts, even though he won you a Super Bowl less than 2 years ago, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, Cofield? Do you entertain that?
I'm not going to say no.
And what package would that bring back?
I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to be fine.
I agree with you.
I really think it's an OC and an A.J. Brown problem. But they can't fix either one of those. I mean, I guess they could dump the OC. It's a little late in the season to do it. But they can't get rid of A.J. Brown now unless they pulled a Keyshawn Johnson or an Antonio Brown, and they're just like, you know what, leave now, you're fired.
Now,
they don't want you to play the rest of the season.
They won't do that. A.J. Brown actually played pretty well on Monday night, except for the one play at the end that he should have made. But, you know, it's just it's a weird game because I don't think the Raiders are capable of being c- competitive against anyone right now, but you look at the Eagles, they have been that bad that where if you told me this was a three-point game with 6 minutes to go and Kenny Pickett has a chance to get the Raiders in field goal range and a chance to pull the upset here, I would not be floored, even with how bad the Raiders have been over the last 2 months.
If you tell me the Raiders can get 13 points, they might be in the game. That's how shaky the Eagles' offense has been. Last night was just shaky all around.
Oh, boy.
Bucks, I mean, really cost themselves. Man, that NFC South every year is just a classic, isn't it? Bucks are now 7-7. Falcons are 5-9. Falcons had how many penalties?
19.
Incredible.
By the way, you know what's kind of ridiculous? Eric Edholm tweeted this out earlier today. Teams that commit 19 or more penalties in NFL history are actually 6-9 overall.
Wow. Okay.
Which is shockingly good.
Okay. I don't know that I expected the sample size to be 15 games.
That too, right?
Two at 15 games, I would have said 2-13, 3-12.
I would have said that that was probably only the second time that happened last night. And it's 6-9, which is actually pretty good.
Well, when you got the Bucks on the other side, it's a mess. And they fell apart. And then Todd Bowles after the game. I didn't mind the clip I saw. I didn't mind Bowles. I saw some people saying, hey, he's putting it all on the players. So what?
It's 100% on the players. You cannot.
He said, you know, we got to get some guys to lead by example. We're not executing. It's not everyone. It's a handful of guys. But right now, we've done what we can as coaches. This is not working. So players have to step up.
I just didn't know Bowles had that in him.
It's not like he got super loud, but I mean, I know the clip you had, he was dropping a bunch of F-bombs. But beyond that, he was kind of monotone. But even when he's monotone, he's saying something. You're like, okay, well, Bowles doesn't usually do that. So if he does it, it means something.
No, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, every other word. I mean, like, granted, he is from Elizabeth. So, like,
in New Jersey.
He does have the New Jersey in him. But it was every other word was an F-bomb or an S-bomb. But Cofield, other than the DeMercado fumbling the ball, just throwing the ball for a fumble before he scored a touchdown against the Titans this year for the Cardinals, that was the worst loss any team has taken in the NFL this year, and it probably was the worst loss because Arizona's season was never really going anywhere in Tampa. Legitimately, these last 2 weeks have gone from overwhelming favorites in the NFC South with two home games against New Orleans and Atlanta, lose both of them. And now, if Carolina handles their business in the Big Easy this week and then beats Tampa next week in Charlotte, the NFC South is over with 2 weeks to go. Carolina will clinch.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. I'll give you credit. You said Carolina was better than everyone thought about 6 weeks ago. And I don't know how much of this is Carolina's doing more than Tampa's fault. But even so, I don't think anyone really imagined Carolina would have a chance to win a division. And 9-8 is going to probably be good enough at this point.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Eagles. Mark McMillan, who played for the Eagles, also played for the Chiefs, the Niners, the Saints, and at the time, the Redskins. So we'll break down the NFL weekend. We'll find out what he's doing around the holidays. He gets super charitable. He's a very charity-friendly guy all year long. But Chef Mark is on the way on Cofield & Company live here as we're at Treasure Island inside the Golden Circle Sports Bar on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
This is a wild weekend in the NFL. Really good games. Battles for playoff position. Desperation situations just to remain on the playoff radar. And then there's old man Rivers, which as of right now, Philip Rivers, a headline, Colts not revealing starter. I feel like we're closer to him actually playing, and I feel like people aren't taking this seriously enough.
I think he's 100% playing at this point, Cofield.
My God.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Unbelievable is a good word.
Yeah.
What's the number on that game right now?
It was 13.5 last I saw.
So I should just get on the other side now. It's 14.
It's 14? It's still not enough.
Well, I lay 14. Colts are a good team. Well, I lay 14. And once Rivers is announced, will it go higher? Will it go off 14?
Well, I'll ask you. Is Riley who's better at this point?
Leonard.
Riley Leonard on one leg?
Ben DiNucci.
Where is DiNucci these days?
Playing flag football, but he's ready.
Oh, man. Because that news broke while we were on the show on Monday that Rivers was being brought in for a workout. It was essentially an Onion headline. And here we are, 4 days later. He's actually going to play.
I am a massive Phillip Rivers fan.
Yeah.
In fact, I've done the diatribe many times. I will do it in the future. Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning is not.
Okay.
Eli Manning went into a good situation with a real coach. Phillip Rivers walked into a situation where he had a good team around him and horrific coaching and horrible prep almost every year at the start of the season. North Turner was never ready.
Correct.
He never had his team ready to go, and they were in scramble mode and then kicked ass in December, but too often they had to go into road spots. But he's a great quarterback, but he's 44 years old. And here's the thing. He's a wonderful guy. Like, I know people make the jokes about him having, you know, he's 44. I forget who said it the other day. He's 44 and he's got 44 kids. Okay. Right? Well, like, we get it. It's funny. He likes to procreate, right? But I think it's a dangerous spot. He's not in shape. I mean, for a report to come out saying he's in better shape now than when he played is ridiculous. He's got a gut. He's got a double chin. He wouldn't say how much he weighs. JVT and I were joking the other day. It wasn't really a joke. He's a big guy. So yeah. I'm guessing he weighs 285 right now. He's 6'5". He probably played at 255, 260 at the end with the Colts, and he might be 25 pounds heavier than that. Let's bring in a guy who does not weigh 285, Mark McMillan. And I think Mark will get what I'm saying. Like, we all love Phillip Rivers. He's a great guy. But, Mark, do you believe that Phillip Rivers can come back on a week's notice, go into an NFL game, and be productive?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you, Mark. I was just talking about Phillip Rivers. Do you believe if he plays this weekend, he can be productive?
Man, that's a good question, Steve. Man, the guy has been out of football 4 or 5 years. I don't see him, you know, lasting four quarters if he does. Obviously, it's a different kind of condition. Obviously, game speed is different. You know, he has no rapport with the receiving core. But I don't see him making a big difference. And, you know, you like to see it, but you don't want to see it because you don't want to see anything happen to a guy that's definitely going to be a shoe-in Hall of Famer.
Ooh, okay. All right, clunky segue, but I'll do it. So Rivers, known as a good family guy, you know, has kids. Right now, looking at what Sherrone Moore has put himself through and put people through, doesn't seem like the greatest family guy. Give me your take on this situation with this dude who went off the deep end once he was fired, just got charged with stalking, and I forget the back end of the charge. We'll get that in a couple minutes. Your take on Sherrone Moore.
Oh, man, what a disaster that is. And for them to keep it under wraps for that long, it seems like every day something different is coming up. Obviously he's not stable. For him to, you know, if it's true, go up in that young lady's house and, you know, threaten to kill himself, obviously he's suicidal. But I guess, man, when you throw all that away, you say anything, man, to try to get off. But, I feel for his wife, his kids, man, that had to go through that. Even the recruits, they just had signing day. And then this big news happened. They haven't even played in the bowl game yet. So it's a disaster down there in Ann Arbor, Michigan, man. We just thought stealing signs was bad. Man, these guys are out there. They're out there begging the staff.
Well, I mean, it's a big cultural issue at Michigan, and it's been going on for years and years and years. And I'll tell you what, I haven't really heard anyone talk about or much about the recruits who just signed. If I'm a parent of one of the recruits who just signed, I'm straining bloody murder. Like, I don't want my kid around you people.
Oh, I'm out. As soon as that broke, my kid would have been out of the school, I would have been in the portal already. If I'm that quarterback for Michigan, I'm calling up Lane Kiffin right now. I'm calling up LSU. I'm getting out of there and going to, you know, start something new because between Michigan and Michigan State, what is going on? Maybe it's the state of Michigan. They're little horn dogs out there, man.
And Mel Tucker wasn't even 2 years ago now. And then now you have this. Mark, if we're just looking at the candidates for that job, look, in theory, this still is one of the best jobs in all of college football. A lot of Kalen DeBoer floated around. A lot of Kenny Dillingham in the last hour getting floated around as well for this.
Yeah, it's a lot of openings that's good. You know, it's like you said, it's a prestigious job. If you can go in there, you're going to make a ton of money. You're playing in the Big Ten, one of the best conferences around. They're 1A and 1B with the SEC. Like I said, it's a great opportunity. You can recruit big time. They have big time tradition. They got a great alumni system. Like I said, I know Caleb Mame has been thrown around. I don't see why he would make that move besides the pressure of being the coach at Alabama and the expectations. I don't think the expectations is that high in Michigan as far as the fan base and winning. And, you know, because if he would have lost to Auburn, he probably wouldn't have a job. But he did beat Auburn, so he survived that. So it should be some really interesting names. I saw Shula's name pop up there as well. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Mark McMillan, a former NFL player, went to Alabama, played his college football for the Crimson Tide. Tide made it into the college football playoff bracket. Give me your thoughts on some of the fallout and all the complaining by the schools that are on the outside looking in.
Well, they have a good complaint. Obviously, you know, you look at what Alabama loses three games. You lose to the number three team in the nation now, probably, I think, number two in Georgia. The gauntlet of the schedule that you have to play in the SEC. At one point, they beat five ranked teams in a row. You know, so they were rolling, man. And then, you know, they hit a hiccup in the bowl game. They had a lot of injuries. So I know Notre Dame had a strong case for it, but if I'm Notre Dame and you know you're going to have an opportunity to get Shafter, you're independent, you got to play some big dogs. You got to schedule some more guys because you're not in the conference. You got to go schedule some Alabama, some Georgia, some Texas. You know, you got to put those teams on your schedule. And the teams that they did lose to was Texas A&M and Miami. So you got to kind of nip that in the bud with Notre Dame, but. Like I said, it is what it is, but the best college football team, in my opinion right now, is Indiana. They are a well-coached team. They have probably the Heisman runner in the quarterback who's made a believer out of me as well.
Mark McMillan up on Cofield & Company here on ESPN Las Vegas. One more thing on Notre Dame. I don't like the fact that they backed out of the bowl game. What do you think?
I think that was Bush League. You know, I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, they're not – they got shafted. It's like someone's taking your basketball and you're going home. You know, you didn't make the bucket, so you didn't get picked for the 707 game or 505 pickup game, and you're taking your ball and you're going home. You know, for the seniors, you know, you want to give them an opportunity to go out and play one more last game, especially a guy that's probably on the bubble who needs a little bit more film to try to get himself drafted. You know, possibly move up to the on the board. Now, your stars are not going to play. Probably Love was probably not going to play in the bowl game anyway. But there's some other guys that didn't get as much playing time that you can have an opportunity, an extra game. And then, you know, you get to see what you really have.
Mighty Mac is with us. Chef Mark is up with Jeff Parles and Cofield here on ESPN Las Vegas. All right. This is the time of charity. And you're a great charitable guy throughout the year. But what do you got planned for the holidays and what's coming up in 2026?
Oh, 2026, man, I got some great news. I'm going to announce Sunday, but you already know about the Taste of the NFL. I did get invited back. I think there's 20 of the top chefs in San Francisco that they're choosing, and I am going to be one of them. Obviously, I'm representing Las Vegas, so I'm excited about that. And then I'm going to host my first Grilla McMillan charity golf tournament that's going to be in Sedona, Arizona next year, and we're going to have, you know, NFL, NBA, NBA. I got a couple of professional golfers, females that's going to be on staff and that's going to be playing. And then we're going to be setting up. So we got 18 holes. We're trying to have at least 10 holes set up with different restaurants and grills. And then at the end, we're going to crown a champion, whoever has the best barbecue at the end of the charity. So it's going to be great. It's going to benefit my lift program and my CAPS 29 for kids that's been harassed and bullied. So 2026. The first annual Grilla McMillan barbecue charity golf tournament. No one is doing that, man.
Mark, what was going on this week over at Allegiant? Did you take a tour of the stadium?
Yeah, I took a tour of the stadium. You know, had an opportunity. Leo, the young guy named is Nate. His grandfather was Leo. He was our ticket guy when I was playing with the Eagles. And now his grandson is the ticket guy here with the Raiders. And then we walk and do the tour on the field, and I see all the guys from the Black Hole, the characters, the Gorilla, you know, Violator, Go-Go Raider, and they were doing a wedding at midfield. They were part of a wedding during the ceremony, which is really cool, man. We didn't know what we were walking into, and they were like, hey, you guys got to be quiet. They're renewing their vow. So only in Vegas that you can get the Raiders fan club and fans to get married at midfield, man. I always say it, man. The Raiders may not have a good product on the field, but their fan base, man, they're solid. They stay true and true.
Well, UNLV, the Rebels, won't be back there, at least to our knowledge, until they face Cal next season, unless they book another non-con home game. Looking back on that game now a week ago, boy, Boise's had their number. It's a different team. Same quarterback, though. Maddox Mattson's done it to him twice. What'd you make of that game, and why can't UNLV get around the corner on the Broncos?
That's a good question. You know, they just, you know, the big plays hurt them once again. Obviously, had a couple of penalties. I guess you could say weather, but, you know, these guys, you know, it's football. You got to play in any kind of weather. But it was a home game. You know, Boise State feels comfortable at home. And when you beat a team so many times, you just feel that confidence about yourself. And UNLV put up a good fight. They were down. I think they got it within seven. And then, you know, the wheels just kind of fell off for UNLV. But like I said, man, the player of the year, I always forget the young man's name, the quarterback. You always help me out with it.
That young man,
man, whoever is out there listening, please put up some NIL for this young man so he does not leave Las Vegas. This young man could be in the running for the Heisman. That's how good this young man is playing and has played all year. If you look at all the quarterbacks over the season, the mobile quarterbacks, I would put this guy right up there with the top quarterbacks in the SEC and Big Ten as far as being able to do it all with his leg and with his arm.
Mark, what do you think is going to happen with the Raiders on the road in Philadelphia against the struggling Eagles right now?
Well, I know that Raider fans might not like this because I'm here in Vegas, but I sure hope that we can get off the schneid against the Raiders. You know, we've been having a tough ride. You know, guys are being injured. You know, for the Eagles, Jalen Hurts probably had one of the worst games of his life. Never saw a quarterback throw a pick, pick up a fumble, and then fumble. He had three turnovers on one position. I've never seen that in my entire life of football, but they played a really good defense in San Diego. The Raiders obviously struggling. They got the, you know, Geno Smith is not playing, so Mr. Glove Man Pickett is in, which he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles last year, so he's very familiar with those guys. So it should be a good battle. I know one person is going to show up. It's Max Crosby. But the Eagles should be able to get this dub, and hopefully they can get a dub and, you know, get those guys some cheesesteak and bring them on back here to Vegas.
There you go. All right, Mark, well, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for checking in, buddy.
All right, appreciate you guys. Keep crushing it.
There he is, Mark McMillan. Chef Mark was on the grill again this week. Didn't get to ask him about the he had a tweet where he just said, "We have the meats." Some sort of looked like a skirt steak. It looked delicious. On the way back, speaking of delicious, I have no segue. Money is up for grabs here in our Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. Over $500 is up for grabs because we haven't had a winner in forever. So we're going to give you the games, and then you can call in. But don't call in until we give you the three games. One lucky listener is going to get a chance to pick three games straight up for a chance, if they go 3-0, to win over $500, courtesy of Dollar Loan Center.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Time now for the Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. We do it every Friday at 3:30. This is a good week. By that, I mean it's going to be really hard to win because we got some important games. We picked some stinkers in terms of bad teams, which those are unpredictable too, but you know, max motivation on both sides in these three games. Packers-Broncos, Bills-Patriots, Bengals-Ravens. Those are the three games. Let's load up the phones. We'll get one caller. Caller 4. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 4 will get a chance to pick the Packers-Broncos game, the Bills-Patriots game, the Bengals-Ravens game, and we haven't had a winner in a while, so we got a boatload of cash in there, courtesy of Dollar Loan Center. You were not on yesterday, and I had a pretty strong reaction to, I think, the overreaction. You know, speaking of the Bengals, on Joe Burrow and his press conference the other day, where some of the big talking head shows immediately made a comparison to Burrow sounding kind of depressed and saying, "Hey, there's no point in doing this. I'm not having fun." And they're like, "Andrew Luck, here we go." It's not what he's saying. And he's not Andrew Luck. And if you've watched Joe Burrow long enough, he's a very quirky guy to figure out.
That is 100% right.
So I don't know if he was firing a shot towards Mike Brown in the organization, but he's playing. He's not retiring. He's making $50 million a year. He loves playing football. He's just really frustrated. And there might actually be some stuff going on in his personal life. I want your take on that in a little bit. But let's bring in Brandon. He called in 364-1100, wants to get in the Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. What's up, Brandon?
How's it going, Coach?
Good, man. Thanks for calling in. Okay, you want three games here? We need a straight-up winner. No spread, just a straight-up winner. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Brandon, pick between the Packers and the Broncos. It's in Denver.
I'll go home team, Denver.
All right. Woo. Bills and Packers. Check that. Bills and Patriots at New England. Bills and Patriots.
Let's go New England.
All right. And then underdog Bengals against the Ravens.
Ravens.
All right. Who's your favorite team?
Who my money's on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a true Las Vegas right there. I was waiting for you to say the Raiders, but I was like, that's exactly it. I don't even know why I root for a football team anymore. We know down deep you're just rooting for whoever you bet. Hey, Brandon, I hope you win this. Good luck, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks.
There he is, Brandon calling in to Cofield & Company Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. It is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. We have in excess of $500 available in this one. I guess if you're a listener who did not get in, root for Brandon to lose. Don't be mean, right? But root for him to lose. You got to get three games straight up, 3-0 to win the money. Otherwise, the pot will continue to grow. And again, the Cofield & Company Weekly Football Picks Contest is brought to you by Dollar Loan Center. On the way back, we're going to get some picks. We'll go to one of our experts, Sam Paniadovich from the Chicken Dinner Podcast, and also Bet Sweats is up next with more picks for the national title. All right, getting ready for a massive football weekend, a football Friday here, Treasure Island, STN Sportsbook, Golden Circle Sports Bar, Parles, Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas. Let's bring in Sam Paniadovich as we get a little lighter week in college football, a massively huge, humongous week in the NFL. What's up, Sam?
Oh, you know me, just getting ready to bet Army-Navy first quarter under tomorrow.
What are Sharps talking about with Army-Navy? Because obviously that massive understreak got broken a few years ago. I think two of three have now gone over. Do they go back to the well on that one with a total? At last I saw it was 38.
Which is pretty high considering 2 years ago the number closed at 28.5. So, you know, now at 38. It's sort of where it used to be about 10 years ago. They were usually in the mid to high 30s. Army can score this year, so I think that's sort of where we're at. But then again, Navy's favored. They opened this. I always look at what they opened up in Vegas and kind of see where we were and where we are. Opened 4.5, Navy favored, of course. And now we're 6.5 all over town. And I see some sevens, too. So there's been some money on Navy for sure. Think about this, though. For a total 38 for the whole game, four quarters. What do you think the first quarter number is total?
What do you think, first quarter number, Army-Navy?
On a 38 and the way it's going to be brought in, I would say it's either 6.5 or 7.5.
7.5, and I like under because I'm protected by a touchdown, right? 7-0, I'm not going to lose. Whereas 2 years ago, I had a huge bet under 6.5. It's like first and 10 at the Navy 12. Minutes ago, you're like huffing helium, right? Because you don't know what's gonna happen, and then they're like, let's run fullback dive again, and they get 2 yards, and then the clock runs out. But you know that year, if there's a touchdown, I lose on 6.5 under, but at 7.5, you got to pay a little juice, like -125 or so. But you know, there's not a lot of NFL talent on the field. There's not a lot of speed. These offenses aren't that good. So I'm under 7.5. It's one of my favorite bets every year, Army-Navy.
I know you have the tip sheet coming out later on. SP Shoot is where you find Sam up on Twitter. Did you get any Sharps telling you about any of the FCS games? This is I know Brent Powers is all over it, but any of the guys you talk to have any FCS side?
The FCS has been a little bit quiet. I mean, they'll usually come in waves, day of the game. Because a lot of these games, you can't really bet. The limits aren't that high. So guys kind of want to save their cards until limits go up, and not the limits are that high. But you want to know, well, why is guys bet? They bet it yesterday, and they destroyed this game. It's the Pinstripe Bowl, which is on the 27th of December. Well, why do you bet that on the 12th? Well, here's why. It sounds like Penn State's cooked in terms of guys leaving for either the NFL or the portal. So yesterday I was leaving the office in New York, and I get a phone call from somebody who says Penn State's running backs are opting out, and nobody knows yet. About 30 minutes later, they ruled out Singleton. He's not playing. Well, the other kid's not going to play either, Allen, so they're not going to play. And then there's a defensive lineman who's going to go to the NFL. He's not playing. Oh, by the way, guess who's trying to rip like 25 guys at Virginia Tech still? James Franklin. So people are just trying to pilfer Penn State right now. And that number went from 3 to 5 in about 20 minutes, Steve. Current price, 5, 5.5, depending on where you look. A couple guys in Vegas, a couple bookmakers that took bets on this, they think this could close as high as 7. So if you can find a 4.5 cheap, or maybe play some Clemson money line with a couple other things, some money line parlays, Clemson's probably going to only get more popular as we get closer to kickoff in 2 weeks.
What happens to the number if Dabo Swinney takes the Michigan job?
Yeah, and Cade Klubnik decides he's not going to play. Like, that's the problem with bowl games. And,
you know,
Vegas Rick, one of my guys, you've met him before. You know, he used to bet info, and he used to bet it furiously. You know, we're talking $5,000, $10,000 a click. And then he started laying 4, games would get to 8. And then all of a sudden, a week later, the whole team would opt out on the other side. So now he's just trying to bail water out, you know, out of the boat. He's got -4, and now the line went from 8 to 2, you know, and he didn't know what to do, because there haven't really been these scenarios in the past with all the NIL and the portal, and it's just been a wild situation for several years now, like 4 or 5 years. It's been very hard to get info that not only, like, stays true, but then you don't get that corresponding move on the other side. It's very tough.
Sammy P is with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. I saw Bear Bets pod. Is Felica on Oregon, or is he just talking about a potential national title path? Has he bet it?
No, Schwartz is on Oregon, but he went to Oregon.
Schwartz is, okay.
So that's, like, the least surprising thing you probably heard today. And you're in Vegas, so that's saying something. Schwartz really likes their O-line and D-line. And I think we all like Lanning, the coach, Dan Lanning. You know, I saw him mock this morning, NFL draft. Dante Moore, 1.2, second pick in the draft. And I'm like, okay, I guess. You know, if you were going to rank your favorite quarterback head coach combo, Oregon's probably right there in the top 2 or 3, along with Cignetti and Mendoza. And maybe you want to go, I don't know, Kirby and Gunnar Stockton. I mean, I understand it. Jeff thinks they're going to beat Tech. And then, you know, you take on, you know, a couple teams until you have to face Ohio State on the other side of the bracket. I think that's what a lot of people are thinking about, you know, because even though Ohio State lost in a very good football game, you still don't want to take them on. They're still the best team. They're still favored to win the title. So I think a lot of wise guys are looking to the other side of the bracket and betting those teams to win the title, because you don't have to play the Buckeyes until the very, very end.
Sammy P is up with Parles and Cofield. All right, let's get to your Fox story. I want to hit some NFL games, but let's talk about futures again. And, Jeff, you brought this up early in the week with the way the playoff picture looks in the AFC, Sam. There's really nothing in the way in terms of the real nemesis in the way of Josh Allen.
Or, as one bettor in Vegas told me, Mahomes is the kryptonite for Buffalo. And every time Josh Allen and this core have gotten to the playoffs, they've lost to Mahomes. Like, that's the only team that's beaten them. They've been fine against Baltimore. They've been fine against everybody else. They can't get through Kansas City. And then you look up this morning, and Kansas City's -800, -900 to miss the playoffs. The math is bad. It's just really bad, because they've dug themselves such a big hole. And they're 6-7. They basically have to win out and need help. But what has shown you that they can win 4 football games in a row? So I'm just going to assume that Mahomes is out of the way. So, okay, no Mahomes, no Burrow, and maybe no Lamar. And we get a better price on the Bills than we got in the summer. Okay, that's good enough for me. 9-1 at a couple of sports books. It was 7-1 in the summer. You know, the issue is they have to go on the road. because I don't think they're going to overleap New England in the division. So Buffalo might have to come out of the five hole or the six hole. But as I've said, like, who else scares you in the AFC that you like in a one-off against Josh Allen? I have nobody. For me, it's not Drake May or Bo Nix or Trevor Lawrence or C.J. Stroud. I want Allen. You can have everybody else. That's how I feel about it.
It is pretty wild that we can get a better price today than we could have in July and with all the carnage in the AFC. Sam, though, I want to go to Sunday, and I have to start in Seattle because it sure looks like we're getting the Phillip Rivers, 44-year-old, out of football for 5 years. It looks like he's going to start. We're 13.5, even some 14 in the market on this game. How high do you think we go? Or do you think some people will, or at least public backers, will be like, hey, Phillip Rivers, I actually know that name, but we'll come in on Indy getting two touchdowns on Sunday?
I'm going to guess when we get to 14 at most places, we're going to see buyback. Because remember, the look ahead at the Westgate was 3.5. Like, before Daniel Jones gets hurt, we're talking Seattle minus 3.5. And then they reopen it on Sunday at 10, which, looking back, was probably a bad open. But that's, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. So we get from 10 to 12 in like 24 hours. And that's just been built on. 12.5, 13, 13.5. Considering it opened at 10 and the look ahead was 3.5, Jeff, there's going to be buyback at 14. And it's not because people like Phillip Rivers. It's because wise guys see that big fat number. 7, 14, right? Those are huge key numbers off the touchdown. So that's my guess. I think 13.5 is a fair closing number. If it gets through, I'm not going to be surprised. Like, if it does close 14.5, so be it. But I don't think it gets much higher than that, because you got guys that we know that they're going to just take a good number. And relatively speaking, 14.5 would be a big number considering where it opened.
What about New Orleans and Carolina? Different circumstance now for the Panthers, where win the next two games, you win the NFC South. Carolina, small road favorite in this one against the Saints, who have played better of late.
One of my favorite trends is to follow the Ben Fox tweet about the Panthers. Like, he tweets it every time they're favored, and it makes me laugh so hard, but it's a really good trend. I know, you know, trends don't pay the rent always, but how about this from our guy Ben Fox at Yahoo? The Carolina Panthers have not won or covered a game as a favorite since September 2021. That's 11 games. Now,
my Lord.
Is that a big sample? Not really. But 0-11 ATS, 0-11 straight up when they're favored. It's tough to get there when you hear that stat, is it not?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say, and especially, too, where this is a totally different circumstance now where, I mean, Carolina the whole year, they've been awesome as an underdog, obviously, with an over 500 record. But this is different. Like, you win this game, you win next week, you win the division. This is a different sort of pressure for Carolina also.
No doubt. All right, I have a disgusting teaser we should discuss because I made it this morning. Okay, I know the teasers in Vegas are more expensive. I'm still able to get some minus 120 teasers. Thank my lucky stars, but beside the point. New Orleans at 8.5 at home against Carolina. And then the Raiders from 11.5 to 17.5 at Philly.
Are the Eagles?
I love these.
Are the Eagles capable of scoring 18 points to beat you there?
Against the Raiders, yes. I just feel like I need 7 points, 10 points from the Raiders, and that's going to be good enough.
Yeah,
10 should be good.
And I know, Steve, you're laying the points in the contest, right? Aren't you laying 11.5 in a contest?
I am. Yeah, yeah. I don't think the Raiders going to show up much. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it could be in between, obviously, if you're doing 17.5 and I'm laying 11.5, but
no,
but I guess
you
you're right.
Hate laying 11.5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you meant hate your pick. No, I never lay double digits, but down the stretch here, there's going to be some of these dogs that are double-digit dogs that are just going to lay an egg, just play horribly. You know that. And that's what happened last year at the end of the year, right? I mean, how ridiculous was the favorites run at the end of the season last year?
Well, I mean, it was something that I was hoping I'd never have to talk about again. I think the favorites on the money line won 80, 80% the last 4 weeks of the season or something like that. There's really, if you look at it right now, one, two, three, four, and then depending on what you want to use for Houston, Arizona, five double-digit games this week, and they're all disgusting. That said, like, should Jacksonville be laying 13.5 to the Jets? I don't know. San Francisco laying 12.5 with all those defensive issues. It's hard to lay big numbers in this league, man. But I guess if I had to pick one, I might take 12.5 with Tennessee against San Francisco.
I want to close on college football, and I'm hoping maybe you can get something on this next week with your connections. I think it's completely fascinating. If you can get some inside information on these programs that are losing their head coach or their coordinators, and which head coaches are really paying attention to their current program. We're talking playoff games, but especially the coordinators, like which ones are really around, really paying attention, or are they spending like 80% of their time on their next job? And that's why it surprises me that Schwartz likes Oregon with both of the coordinators on the move. You know, A&M's coordinator took the K-State job. We know about the head coaching situation with Kiffin off. John Summerall's gone. Bob Chesney's gone. There's going to be some coaching conflicts here where the kids are not going to get the prep they normally get.
Well, I know some wise guys that laid Oregon big at 20.5 and 21. Now, the problem is it's sort of stalled there. We haven't seen much more movement. Now, the game is still 8 days away. I'm going to guess Oregon will close 23 or 23.5. That's my projection, I guess. But James Madison and Tulane both have head coaches who are like living the Jekyll and Hyde Harvey Dent life. They're doing two things at once. And, you know, if you're down to Oregon 21-0 at half, that final score is going to be 42-6. I'm more interested in watching the first quarter and the first half, because if those teams, if James Madison and Tulane are out of it early, we're talking blowout. Doors off the fence, blown out. That said, if Oregon's up 10-7, we might get a game there, because then doubt starts to kick in and the dog starts to believe. But if these games are ugly early, man, that second half number won't be big enough.
I only got 15 seconds left. I saw you retweet something with a woman doing a Claire Danes impression, and that's so connected with me. My girlfriend showed it to me. I laughed my ass off. Why did it connect with you?
Because I've seen a lot of Claire Danes roles, and it's the same role. Yep. It's the same faces for 30 years, Steve. You know it.
Yep. Yes. The breathing, the hyperventilating, the panic over the most, you know, insignificant things. Maybe we've all got a little bit of that in us from time to time. Maybe that's why it connected with me. Sam, have a good weekend, man. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah, I really want to build on that tomorrow during Throw the Flag, the whole coaching change thing and who's around and who's not.